What a beautiful selection of songs this morning. If you'll open up your Bibles this morning, we are in the passage of Psalms once again in the 23rd chapter. For those of you who know, my family and I are big comic book nerds, and we go to comic book conventions often, and we were just in Salt Lake a couple of weeks ago, and we got to meet somebody that we admire from television. He's been on some shows, but what was really neat is on stage in front of thousands of people, he talked about his faith in Jesus Christ, and it was so neat to see that from a celebrity, because you don't see that very often these days. So we immediately afterwards went over to his table to get an autograph from him, and I asked him to write his favorite passage of Scripture, and it was Psalm 23. So let's read that together this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much this morning for just the chance to be able to come to your house, Lord, to sing these songs of praise to you, Lord, to feel your presence in and around us. We thank you again this morning for the reminder of the sacrifice that you made so that we can spend eternity with you and have a close and personal relationship with you, Lord. And we thank you for this passage this morning, Lord. Just this teaching and this reminder that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He is our comforter, Lord. That you love us so much that you give us help each and every day of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray that we would live our lives in honor of that. Lord, I just pray now that as Pastor Craig comes and delivers this message this morning, we pray that you would use it to comfort us, to draw us near to you, and, Lord, to just grow closer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Psalm 23 is perhaps the most quoted passage of Scripture at funerals. And while it is a very, very comforting passage of Scripture, it's designed for that. While our Lord is exactly what we need when a loved one dies, while it reminds us of even the believer's eternity with his Lord, this psalm actually almost has nothing to do with death, nor the comforting of one who has lost a loved one. This psalm is really about going on with life. It's about David's Lord shepherding him through his life. That's what it's about. It's very much him recounting just how good his Lord is to him. And the picture that King David, the author of the psalm, the picture that he draws here is of that, just that, a shepherd caring for a sheep. Now, what's interesting about domesticated sheep, and I did a little bit of research on this, but what's interesting about domesticated sheep is no one has been able to definitively determine when sheep were actually domesticated. There is not a known wild ancestor of the common domesticated sheep varieties that we have today. In fact, the very first thing that we learn about sheep in the Bible is all the way back in Genesis chapter 4, where we are told that Abel was a keeper of them. My point being, okay, maybe, and this is a big maybe, but maybe sheep might be the one animal that God created that absolutely needed the care of human beings or the care of a shepherd, okay? And that might explain exactly why we are likened to sheep in God's word. We absolutely need the care of a shepherd. And through Psalm 23, David recounts just how good his shepherd is to him. In fact, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, all right, the last couple words of verse 5 epitomize David's life under his shepherd's care. He says, "My cup runs over." My cup runs over. It's overflowing with blessings from my Lord. Now, I don't gamble, okay, but I remember not that long ago walking through a casino. I know things have changed a little bit now, how they work there, but walking through a casino, just as someone had hit a jackpot, and the coins were just clinking, the bells were whistling, lights were flashing, and it was coming out so heavy that the tub, the basin underneath was overflowing, was spilling out onto the floor, and the winner was trying to collect it in cups. Well, that is how the blessings of the Lord are, minus the coinage and the gambling, okay? That's how the blessings of the Lord are for us. And we're going to find that we're talking more, while he does provide physically in accord with his will, we're going to be talking more about the spiritual act of things, the spiritual aspect of things here this morning. David's cup was overflowing with blessings from his Lord. Now, I don't know what kind of trials that you're going through right now, but what I do know is that if you're willing to count them, your blessings from the Lord will outweigh whatever that trial is. Okay? If you're willing to count them. Another poet, he put it this way. He said, "I thank God for the blessings that his mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed." I just thought that was clever. And my prayer this morning would be that we might better see just how good our God is, how our shepherd is, as David recounts how good he has been to him. Our subject this morning is the shepherding Savior from Psalm 23. And the very first goodness that David recounts, the very first goodness of our God is he provides abundantly. He provides abundantly. Look at verses 1 through 3 again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And I'll stop there. The first point is he provides abundantly. David says, "I really, if I think about it, I have no wants. I have everything that I need physically and especially spiritually." Almost 18 years ago now, I ran a printing press for a very large international company. They don't even exist anymore. That's why I went on to something else. But anyway, one of the perks of that job was paper. We could have all of the paper, in making ready a press for printing, there's a certain amount of waste that happens. And we could have any of that waste that we wanted. The end roll, when we were done printing, whatever was left on the roll, we could have that. So literally, I had access to and could have miles of paper every single day. Okay? And I did. I brought a lot home. In fact, here we are, 18 years later, and I still have several boxes of paper at home, okay? Well, that is really the way our Lord provides for us, where my paper, however, will one day run out. Our Lord's blessings to us will never. Okay, they are inexhaustible. He provides abundantly. What does he provide? Well, we learn a few things from these first couple of verses. First of all, David says green pastures. Okay, any good shepherd knows the importance of providing green pasture for the sheep. That is one of his main responsibilities, is green pastures. And they serve two purposes. First of all, green pastures are for food. The whole point of shepherding is to lead sheep to food so that they can freely eat and grow and be healthy enough to produce wool and milk and other sheep. All right? Green pastures are for food, but green pastures are also for rest. And that's exactly what David points out here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Every year on the way up to camp, I mentioned camp earlier, Cedar Mountain Retreat. But as we go up to the mountains, there are a lot of sheep herds on the mountains. And as we go up there, there's a particular spot alongside the road that almost every time there are sheep there. And guess what? It's a very grassy area, and there's shade, and they're bedded down, and they're resting there. They're resting there. He provides. That's part of the shepherd's job, is to provide green pastures for food and rest. But also, it says he provides still waters. Just as important as food is water. And the way this is worded tells us that the shepherd provides water that he has stilled or quieted. Perhaps by damming up a swift stream or creating a mini lagoon alongside the stream. And the point is he wants his sheep to be able to drink easily and in accord with what their needs are exactly. So he provides green pastures. He provides still waters. And then thirdly, he provides restored vitality. Okay, that is the purpose of food, water, and rest. But then lastly, he provides paths of righteousness. Sheep, among other animals, follow paths. Okay, there are paths to the water, paths to the pastures, paths to rest and vitality. And in verse 3, David kind of leaves the sheep analogy and begins talking about the path of God's children, the path of the believer, who can walk in righteousness because his Lord, the shepherd, has already walked it before him. While the shepherd Savior will provide for our physical needs in accord with his will, the emphasis here really is on our spiritual needs, what we need spiritually right now. He is leading, and all we have to do is follow. Follow him to the green pastures and the still waters that truly represent the Word of God, the food and drink of God's Word. Listen to a few passages. Matthew 4:4. There Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's our sustenance spiritually, emotionally. In John 7:37, Jesus cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Paul to the Philippians said, "God's word is the word of life." Feed on God's word. Drink it in. Drink it in so that we can follow him in those paths that he desires us to travel. And it goes on, it says, we do it for his name's sake, the end of verse 3 says. In a sense, God does what he does for his sheep so that as others observe us as a sheep, they can plainly see, wow, your shepherd loves you. Your shepherd really cares for your needs, your well-being. Who is your shepherd? Can he be my shepherd too? David says, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He can be your shepherd too, okay? He provides abundantly for me, and he is doing it for his namesake so that you can know him and he can be your shepherd as well as mine. Philippians 4:19, there Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Talking of our spiritual needs, what we need when we need it, he will give it. He will give it. That is how good our Lord is. And while the shepherd Savior will provide for our physical needs in accord with his will, the emphasis here is certainly on the spiritual. What we need when we need it. And our shepherding Savior provides it abundantly. Abundantly. The second goodness from our God is he protects assuredly. Look at verses 4 and 5. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Now, I've shared this with you before, but I used to have a friend that was, he was a pretty big guy, and also a detective for the Ogden, Utah Police Department. And one of his hobbies was looking for crime late at night during his off-duty hours. Okay, he would do this for entertainment. He enjoyed it so much that he couldn't stay away from it. And he would get into his own car, and what he would do is he would find a place where he knew crime normally took place, and he would just park and watch. And when he saw it, he would then call it in to the on-duty officers, and they would come, and then he'd watch the arrest, okay? But he took me, my point in this is he took me on a couple of these trips. And I got to tell you, we went to neighborhoods that I probably wouldn't go to in the daylight hours, let alone midnight, all right? And we saw some very sketchy things. And I if I were to go by myself, and I wouldn't, I would have been very, very afraid, all right? But because he was with me, there was a sense of security. And because I knew that he was packing heat and knew how to use it, there was a certain comfort in even being there, even as we were approached a time or two by some shady-looking characters. Well, that is exactly what David had in his shepherd, the Lord. Notice, too, that in verses 4 and 5, David stops talking about the shepherd and starts talking to the shepherd. How does the Lord protect? He says, "You protect me through danger." There are times when we will have to or maybe even choose to walk in dangerous, maybe even scary places. For instance, there are believers living in places that are not Christ-friendly. There are Christian missionaries that deliberately go to some of those places. But you and I sometimes find ourselves among people, perhaps, that are hostile toward Christ. You and I sometimes find ourselves in places that we've never been before, that are scary, okay? And the Lord offers His protection. Often physically, but always spiritually. Death may even be casting its shadow upon us, but we need to understand that the Lord is with us. He can protect us in those times of danger. He says, "You protect me through danger." He says also, "You protect me from evil." So David says, "I will not fear it. I won't be afraid," where he might be scared to death if he were alone, and rightly so, because his Lord is with him through this. He is surprisingly at ease and even comforted as he encounters evil. And then thirdly, he says, "You protect me with your staff." Our passage says rod and staff. Some students of the scriptures believe these were two separate items. Some think they were one and the same. But either way, the point that David is making here is our shepherd is packing heat, so to speak. Okay? The rod could be used actually as an offensive and defensive weapon to even beat and kill any beast that might threaten the sheep. The staff was a tool of defense to keep the sheep close and safe. David says, "You protect me with your staff." And then fourthly, "You protect me among my enemies." Look at verse 5 again. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Even in the middle of enemy territory, God will supply all of our needs. The picture seems to change here a little bit from that of a shepherd to that maybe of the host of a banquet. However, I think it's just reiterating the fact that our shepherd provides green pastures and still waters, even when we're in dangerous places, even maybe among our enemies. 30 years ago, there was a Bible church that just started in southern Utah, in a place where, actually 30 years ago, they did not want any Bible churches there. Those that lived there did not want that church there. They made that very known. The planting of that church, it is there today, it's growing, it's doing great. The planting of that church, though, did not happen through local financing, but rather God supplied all of their needs through believers in other places. He prepared a table right in the midst of the enemy. He protects us. He protects us from them. And then fifth, "He protects me because I'm His," David says. Most often, as the Bible talks about anointing one's head with oil, and I know there are some other things that we could actually even relate to sheep in this, but most often, as the Bible speaks of anointing one's head with oil, it's in reference to that person being appointed or chosen for a specific purpose. God drawing us, choosing us. Well, you and I, as believers, we were chosen for a very special purpose. Listen to a couple passages. Psalm 95:7 says, "He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand." We were chosen to be His. In John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own." And in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Why? What's the purpose? that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen, royal, holy, special, called. My cup is running over. That's how good our Lord is to us. The shepherding Savior provides abundantly. He protects assuredly. And then lastly, he pursues attentively. Having our 1.5-year-old granddaughter living with us, and you getting tired of me talking about her? All right, because I'm going to keep talking about her. But having our year-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter living with us before the time that they did reminded me of how much people are like sheep. Like sheep. If I had food in my hand, she followed me everywhere I went, okay? Just like the shepherd, right? Just like we talked about in point one. If something frightened her, she was right there by me, sticking close to me. She was right there or by another adult, okay? Just like the protection that the shepherd offers. But then there were times when I would pursue her. And it was often as she would get herself into trouble. Serenity, don't play in the garbage can. Get out of there. Serenity, get out of the knife drawer. You're going to get hurt, right? Serenity, get off the kitchen table. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. It's dangerous up there. And in each of those cases, it was me pursuing her. In fact, there was one time where I'm sitting in a swivel rocker in our bedroom. And out in the living room, I can see right out the door, she comes walking out of the kitchen and she's got a steak knife in her hand. Let me tell you, I pursued her. I've never moved so fast in my life, all right? But anyway, sheep will follow the shepherd's lead to food and water. The sheep stay close to the shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. But sometimes sheep wander. They wander into things they really shouldn't be doing. They wander into sinful things. Things that can be very, very dangerous for them. Things that the shepherd would not approve of. Things that can hurt them. And it's in those times that the shepherd Savior pursues us. Look at verse 6. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our shepherd does lead us. He does protect us. But also when we wander from those paths of righteousness, when we leave his side, he's going to follow us. He comes after us, and he does so really with two things, with goodness, actually three, with goodness and mercy and then rest. You see, as we look at David's life, and I believe that he probably wrote this psalm earlier in his life, but as we track through David's life, know that God pursued David after his adultery and murder conspiracy. God pursued him. God pursued David after he abandoned his kingdom. God pursued David after he trusted in armies instead of God. How? Well, he pursued him with goodness. God was even able to take those things that were meant for evil, those things that caused great pain at the time, those things that were very, very terrible or had very, very terrible immediate consequences. And he used them for good. From Bathsheba came King Solomon. From abandonment came peace in the kingdom. From the pride of a census came humility. God, the good shepherd, the shepherd Savior, pursued David with goodness. That's what he wants for us. He wants goodness for us. And then he pursued him also with mercy. Your translation might read love or loving kindness. But at its root, it's actually defined as mercy. And mercy is the withholding of punishment that one deserves. While David deserved far greater punishment, God pursued him with mercy. God withheld and restrained the things, the punishment that David truly deserved. And David knew it. He knew it, and that's why we have this psalm today. God pursued David with goodness and mercy and rest. No matter how upset I may have been with Serenity as she's gotten to the trash yet again and scattered it all over the kitchen, it did not change the relationship and love that I have for her. She will always be my granddaughter, and I will always be her opa. Well, David rested. He rested in the fact that no matter what the circumstances, even in those times when he wandered from the Lord, he knew he had a home. He had a relationship with the Lord forever. He knew God loves me. He loves me. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For I will be," this is God talking to you and I, okay? "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In John 10:27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." There have been a number of Christians in my life that as I've casually asked them, "How you doing?" they would respond, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." And that is exactly what we have in our Shepherd Savior. Our cup runs over. It runs over. And as David recounted just how good God had been to him, my prayer really this morning is that we now better understand just how much our God loves us, just how good our shepherd desires to be to us. I want to read you a passage, and I'll close with this. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And it mirrors Psalm 23, I think. But I want you to listen to how the Apostle Paul puts this. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." God provides everything that we need, whatever it is, exceedingly abundantly more than we even think or imagine. How does one obtain the goodness the Shepherd Savior provides? Follow him. Follow him. I thank God for the blessings that his mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowed. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for just this song that David penned so long ago by your inspiration, showing us just how good you are to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we have learned perhaps a little bit more about how you want to provide for us, how you want to protect us, how you even pursue us, Lord, that we, as we learn these things about you, as we feed from your word and grow to know you more and more, that we would just follow. That we would just follow. Thank you for your goodness to us this morning. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would go ahead and stand, we will close our worship service this morning with Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine we are. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and simple though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beams fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
And Lord, that we would just seek to live our lives with our eyes upon you. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name.